from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 15th day of July, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the agricultural futures markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the program, the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, will help us take up the cash grain market. In agricultural news, there's a discussion happening in Washington, D.C. that might just ban the use of antibiotics or routine services in the livestock sector. The WHO has declared H1N1 unstoppable, and AFBF is opposed to H.R. 2454. We'll have more on these and other agricultural news stories a bit later in the program. And then as we close out this Wednesday edition, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens right here on the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 534 3/4, up 4 3/4. December at 561 1/2, a nickel higher. The March at 579 1/2, up 4 3/4. September corn futures down 9 cents today at 329 1/2. December at 337 1/2, 8 lower. And the March corn at $3.51, down 7 3/4. May contract 360 1/2, down 7 3/4. July futures for the corn at $3.69 1/2, down 7 3/4. August soybean futures 14 cents lower, $10.20 1/2. The settlement price September at $9.50 1/2, down 13. And November beans $9.04 1/2, 13 1/2 lower. January futures 9.12 1/4, down 13 3/4. And the March at 9.16 1/4, a settlement price down 13 1/2. August bean meal at $3.26.40, down 7.60. August soybean oil at $34.12, 35 cents higher. August live cattle futures $84, 92 1/2 cents, down 12 1/2. October's at $90.27 1/2, 15 cents higher. August feeder cattle $103.05, down 7 1/2 cents. September at $103.20. down 15, and the July lean hog futures today at 58.45 were down 25 cents, but the August contract gained 42 1/2 cents to settle at $64.02 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets are doing this afternoon. Settlement prices in for the crude oil. August contract at $2.02 higher, finished $61.54 a barrel. And the August ethanol at $1.50 1/10 is currently, rather, settlement price there is up 1 1/10 cents. Natural gas at $3.28 2/10, down 14 7/10. It's still trading. The August RBOB at $1.71 3/10, up 6 6/10. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.58 8/10. 7 6/10 higher. Propane futures at 72 3/10 cents, up 2 2/10 cents. And the gold contract at $9.39 1/10, up $16.60 an ounce. The Dow at 85.95 is just about 236 points higher. The dollar at 79.31 is lower, down 0.87. And the CRB index, that's Commodity Research Bureau index, at 239.71. is up 6.2 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight in the south. Mostly cloudy skies, a few lingering showers in northern and central sections. Clear to partly cloudy, lows will range from 58 in far northwestern Illinois to 70 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow in the far south, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, as our own Mike Sola. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny skies, a chance of a few instability showers, possibly during the afternoon and early evening hours. Highs will range from 78 in the far northern part of Illinois to 88 in southwestern Illinois tomorrow. A return to cooler than average temps will slowly make growth rates all across the a return to cooler temperatures will come across the Midwest. Later in the week, we'll hear more about that. As we talk to Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated, that'll come up at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us today is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Interesting day in Chicago. It looks like the weather took lead in the grains, especially the corn, possibly the oil seeds, and then it was sort of a pile-on with news out of Tyson. What did you make of it all?
Well, the weather forecast that I looked at 6 o'clock when I walked through the door today was one of two things. We had basically 8/10 of an inch here in Oakland, and I understand Eager County got a fairly good rain. It was definitely, for my meteorological team, the feeling is that the it's a drier forecast per se. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be some rain around, and I guess if I had to bet, I think the crop ratings will drop on next Monday's afternoon's ratings report. Now, some people, I think, are saying that the weather looks ultimately good and that there's no major weather problems in the offing, and it looks like some pretty good yields. But if you look at it, the southern part of the southern third of counties, the top three counties in Minnesota still need a rain, Nebraska needs a rain, and Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and northern Indiana. But the market was basically hit hard with the report that there was some export business of old beans to China, and then China basically selling the first 2 weeks in August 500,000 metric tons of soybeans into their market. And then we did pick up the story about Tyson basically liquidating a third of their sow production in the southern states. And those things all added up to a sell-off today in the marketplace. And one has to basically take note that with less livestock, and China has been a big buyer of soybeans, that those added up to a sell-off today in the corn and soybean market.
And you have to respect the fundamentals, I suppose. This all came on a day where the outside markets were pretty active to the upside and remain that way. The Dow's up 250 points. Crude oil finished $2 higher for the day. But still not much of an impact in Chicago from either of those events.
Yeah, and, you know, what we're really looking at is the crop ratings are indicating somewhere in a 155 to 158 bushel per acre yield average, with some people feel that the state of Iowa is way over 160 bushels per acre at the present time and climbing. So there's still a debate and wiggle room of what the prices indicate. Now, also, we pick up if it's a national average of 160, we could go to $3 a bushel on corn. The administration seems to be dragging their feet on ethanol, increasing blends. We are below the cost of production in corn, and there's major problems in the Corn Belt. And, it seems like the administration's basically taking a hands-off attitude and hoping the problem will solve itself out here in the next 3 to 5 months.
You don't think that's going to happen, though, do you?
No, I don't. I'm more proactive, and one idea that I have, of course, is a farmer a stored grain reserve. Let the farmer either store it, or the government can buy it from the farmer and let the farmer store it. You know, there's a million ways to jumpstart this thing, as well as ethanol. But no, it's going to take some cheap prices here, and as Earl Butz would always say, is cheap prices take sometimes some time to get cleaned up.
Yeah, well, What do you think? How much is a long time to clean it up? Got an idea?
Well, of course, it depends on what the yield per acre is this fall. You know, if it's down in this 154 or 55 or something like that, you know, the amount of downside, you know, isn't very much. But if we do get into a national yield average of 160 bushels, it's going to be, you know, lots of piles of corn, lots of cheap corn, and a lot of problems in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And usually what I've found is it costs less for the government to be proactive instead of reactive, and much like the banking crisis we saw this last winter.
All right. Anything to add on the livestock sector side beyond what's happening?
Well, you know, the livestock did close higher, right. And I think that also signals that, maybe things will get better quicker if the biggies aren't able to manage the problem.
All right. Thanks much.
Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Well, you are listening to Illinois Public Media. We post all of our ag programming to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you have not visited there, please do so. You'll find the daily ag programming as MP3 files and podcast, the opening, pre-opening market reports, closing market report, a midday update with Sue Martin. All those things are there, along with a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It, too, is free over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. And if you want to know where the USDA has everything pegged fundamentally, we've got a tag for USDA reports right there in the middle of the page, too. It's quick, it's simple, and it's all at willag.org. And don't forget about Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural futures. Commodity Week airs over the weekend and is on our website at about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In today's agricultural news, the Obama administration is seeking to ban many routine uses of antibiotics in farm animals. The hope there is to reduce the spread of dangerous bacteria in humans. Writing to the House Rules Committee, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein, Principal Deputy Commissioner of the Food and Drugs, said feeding antibiotics to healthy chickens, pigs, and cattle done to encourage rapid growth should cease. Dr. Sharfstein said farmers should no longer be able to use antibiotics in animals without the supervision of a veterinarian. The WHO has declared H1N1 unstoppable. The World Health Organization's Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization has declared that the H1N1 pandemic is unstoppable, and therefore all countries need to access that vaccine. The WHO, or the WHO, has given drug makers a full go-ahead to manufacture a vaccine against the pandemic influenza strain. And AFBF opposes H.R. 2454. The American Farm Bureau Federation is opposed to H.R. 2454, the House-passed climate change bill. AFBF President Bob Stallman told the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works that the House-passed legislation will have little to no impact on global temperatures. He said without the adoption of similar actions by other countries, the U.S. will be embarking on a fool's errand. The Farm Bureau leader pointed to unilateral cap-and-trade legislation that will have little or no impact on the climate, he says, because greenhouse gas emissions require a global response. As an example, Stallman offered, a ton of greenhouse gases emitted in China is the same as a ton of greenhouse gases emitted in Virginia. Regulating emissions in Virginia without regulating emissions in China, Stallman said, will have little or no impact on the environment. And finally, changes are needed in the RFS, at least that's according to Senator Jeff Bingaman. He says when the renewable fuel standard was first developed, the Congress envisioned a biofuels industry that would move beyond corn ethanol. But today, Bingaman says there are three areas of the RFS that need further fine-tuning. The first is the definition of renewable biomass. The second is the inclusion of international land use change in the calculation of life cycle greenhouse gas emissions. And finally, he says he thinks we need to reevaluate the technology and the feedstock-specific mandates within the RFS. Concerning indirect land use decision and ethanol's carbon score, Senator John Thune points out this means the carbon output from land use decisions of landowners all over the world will be counted against American ethanol. He wants to see that changed, as well as see wood waste from private and federal forest land included in the cellulosic ethanol formula. Various bills concerning these issues have been submitted. And finally today, where are the dollars? The stimulus dollars, that is, for rural America. Rural unemployment was up 16.3% during the second quarter. The rural unemployment figure during the first quarter was 9.6%. Meanwhile, the Obama administration has disbursed almost no funding from the stimulus bill for rural development. That's the point made by House Ag Committee ranking member Frank Lucas. Lucas says the reality is that unemployment in rural America continues to climb. In contrast, Republicans offered a better solution, he says, that would have created twice as many jobs as President Obama predicted at half the cost. Despite the administration's promises, Lucas points to no funding disbursed for expanding of broadband to rural areas, no funding for rural water and waste disposal program, and only $170,000 of the stimulus' $130 million for the Rural Community Facilities Program that have been disbursed, at least so far to date. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Coming up, the commodity markets, as you probably already know for sure, have fallen fast and furiously this spring and early summer. I'll have some of the series of reasons for that decline with ag economist Daryl Good.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
The price of corn and soybeans in Chicago has been in a sharp decline. University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says there is more than large acreage to blame.
You know, you start by saying, what are the factors other than the acreage number that might have contributed to further declines in prices? And you can point to two or three. I mean, the real break in soybean prices, the real hard break, was in old crop prices, which had been running at a substantial premium to new crop on the basis of tight stocks and the need to ration use a little bit. So you conclude that the market has decided that the rationing job was complete, that prices had gone high enough, that we'd slowed use enough, that we were going to make it to harvest, and so we could give up some of that premium that the old crop had been carrying. Simultaneously, you look at two or three other things. One, we did see some weakness in the energy markets. Crude oil was trading $70 or higher, dropped back down to $60. That takes some of the edge off of the biofuels industry. We did see some weakness in the financial markets as economic data continues to underperform expectations. And thirdly, I think moving into the first week of July, expectations about crop conditions and yield prospects started to improve somewhat. People were reading that crops were developing slowly in some areas, but doing well. Moisture conditions adequate, no severe heat in the major growing areas. And so I think that's when we started seeing these yield expectations beginning to build a little bit, as well as seeing the bigger acreage numbers. So We just had some piling on there, I think, in terms of factors that were affecting corn and soybean prices.
That's ag economist from the University of Illinois, Darrell Good. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us from Delphi, Indiana, to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market is Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another ugly day in Chicago. Futures were down, but I suppose that makes the ethanol plant run a little smoother, or at least more financially healthy anyway.
Yeah, you know, kind of a surprising day with corn being down hard, and actually oil is up pretty nicely here. So it does bring back some decent margins into an already good margin environment right now for ethanol.
There was a point earlier in the year where we were talking about shortness of supplies in the Eastern Corn Belt and that we were having awfully, awfully good basis. Has that remained despite the fact that we're much lower in the marketplace in the futures?
Yeah, we're seeing a just general lack of producer movement here, and the high concentration of to the east of us of corn and corn processors have really kept basis strong here. Most of the places on that side of Indiana are 20, it's in low 20s over the SEP here.
And is that filtered over as far to the Delphi facility that you're in?
Yeah, you know, we're 10 under right now. That basis is probably ready to ratchet up a little bit, but even the train shippers have seen basis here in the NS market be pretty nice. Most train shippers on the NS are small overs beyond the CSX. We've seen the CXX values actually kind of gain on the NS market and add another 10, about 7 cents so far this week. So train shippers also have seen their basis start even competing with the corn processors.
Does it tell you much about what's happening in Chicago and fundamentally whether they've got it right or wrong, or is it just a matter of supply is there and not being let go by the farmers?
Yeah, it seems like supply is there, just not being let go by the farmers. And with the lack of any type of bullish news here in the Chicago market, it just seems like these futures have really nowhere to go but down.
Well, nowhere to go but down. You got a downside pick you'd like to share with us?
You know, I really think this market could lose another 15 cents pretty easy until it finds a bottom. So, you know, break through the bottoms we made last week and maybe even another 5 cents beyond that.
How about
where we are now?
How about on the soybean side?
Beans, I'm not quite as confident about. You know, I think that you probably take another 50 cents out of this market pretty easily down to the 850 area.
Tell me about your cash bids for the day.
Yeah, Climbers, we're at 339, Delphi Beans at 1044.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's located in Delphi, Indiana. They have a grain elevator and an ethanol production plant located there. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. You're listening to willag.org from Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Top Illinois lawmakers say they've got a tentative agreement on the state budget and can vote on it within hours. Legislative leaders met with Governor Pat Quinn for about 2 hours earlier today. Afterward, they said the budget plan would be discussed with rank-and-file lawmakers. That could lead to votes tonight, more than 2 weeks after the budget was supposed to be in place. The delay has interfered with paychecks for thousands of state employees. Officials are discussing a version of the budget that would not include a tax increase or the drastic cuts included in an earlier version. Instead, it would depend on more borrowing, leaving bills unpaid and other financial maneuvers. The Green Party has slated a candidate for Illinois governor. Rich Whitney, who's run for the office 3 times prior, says things are easier now that the Greens are an established party in the state. That happened following the 2006 gubernatorial race. Whitney believes his party is now a viable third choice, particularly because of voter frustration with Democrat and Republican leadership since that time. He made his announcement in Chicago today. While some Republicans have already announced plans to run for governor, incumbent Democrat Pat Quinn has made no formal announcement. Champaign police are seeking more information regarding a shooting that took place on the city's northeast side last night. A police spokeswoman says just before midnight, a 28-year-old male was shot in the 600 block of Bradley Avenue and had been transported to a hospital for treatment by the time police arrived. The victim's condition is unknown. His name is not being released. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact Champaign police or Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. The owner of Burridge Cemetery in suburban Chicago says he has nothing to do with allegations that workers dug up bodies and resold plots. Perpetua Incorporated President Melvin Bryant says he finds the conduct despicable and deplorable, and that neither he nor the company profited from the alleged scheme. He says he feels sorry for the families who are left wondering what's happened to their loved ones' remains. He also says he has relatives buried at the cemetery in South Suburban also. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another rainfall across my world last night, and it was pretty heavy at times overnight, but things starting to clear out a bit.
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of calm things down a little bit here over the next week. We'll see a little less precipitation, a little less frequently, and we're going to go into the deep freeze. No, I'm just kidding. I might as well, though, with the way temperatures are going, we're going to be looking at temperatures that are anywhere from 10 to 12 degrees below normal for a couple of days here over the weekend, 60 and 70-degree highs expected across a large part of the Midwest. It's just going to be downright nippy out there with 40 and 50-degree lows. It's going to seem like autumn, especially in the northern parts of the Midwest. A little bit of breeze blowing around out there as well. It's just really going to be unusual for the middle of July. How long will this last? Well, it looks like the air mass will moderate as we go into the early part of next week, and as that takes place, we'll probably keep the air rather dry. It's not really going to open back up to a warming trend until we get into the early to middle part of next week. And when that takes place, we'll be bringing some Gulf of Mexico moisture back up into the cool air mass. And so more shower and thunderstorm activity will probably result from Monday into Wednesday for the Western Corn Belt and probably Tuesday into Thursday of next week for the eastern area. It's not going to be a lot of rain, but scattered showers and thunderstorms just enough to keep us in a favorable environment for crop development. It still looks like there's no large-scale area in the Midwest that's going to run short of moisture during the pollination process, at least not through the end of July.
What else are you keeping tabs on around the globe?
Well, we're keeping an eye on Argentina. Believe it or not, they're in their second year of very dry conditions, and some of the wheat crop has not been planted already. This is actually a post-planting season under normal circumstances. The optimum planting dates usually end in the second week of July, so from this point onward, anything that's planted is going to have probably a little bit of a lower yield potential. And there's a lot of the country that has not put their wheat in the ground yet down there because of the drought. But El Nino is firing up a little bit more so, and it's going to generate greater amounts of rainfall in Argentina relatively soon. So we're about at the end of this run of dryness. We're also watching India, of course, with El Nino abutting rather quickly here. We're probably going to run lower on rainfall potential across India. That will likely take place as we go into August primarily. For right now, India is doing fairly well. And there's only some small areas of dryness around the world. For instance, from the eastern Ukraine into parts of the south-central Russia, a little bit dry there. Their summer crops are a little bit stressed. And some of the small grain and oilseed crops from last winter across France and Germany are facing some rather wet conditions for their harvest, which will be underway for the next couple of weeks at least.
And then if you could wrap up, we have just about a minute left. Talk about China. Their growing region has mirrored ours for the most part this spring and then early summer. Will they have the cold temps too?
Well, they probably won't for a little while, but they will eventually. It does look as though the northeast part of China has had an ongoing cooler bias already up to this point in time. They're actually taking a little break from that right now, but it will come back again. And yes, it is not a North America phenomenon. This is hemispherical with the cool weather around. A lot of places are likely to cool down a little bit quicker this autumn, so we will certainly stay attuned to that deal. But China does not have any dryness problems out there right now. They did for a couple of weeks, but that seems to be gone, and the forecast is still offering a fairly frequent occurrence of showers and thunderstorms.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.